you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
It's Film Week on LAist 89.3 and the LAist app. Last week, our critics reviewed David and Nathan Zellner's film Sasquatch Sunset. Shot in the legendary Bigfoot territory of Northern California, it follows the lives of four members of a Sasquatch family. There are no human characters or human language in the film, but the Bigfoot family creatively communicates in their own ways. Surprisingly, for a movie where the actors are unrecognizable behind prosthetics, two stars agreed to take this on, Riley Keough and Jesse Eisenberg. The family also includes Christopher Zajac-Denik as the child Bigfoot and co-director Nathan Zellner as the eldest. Nathan and David Zellner, thank you both for joining us to talk about your completely original film.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excited to be here.
To conceive of this story, you must have had a more than average interest in Sasquatch lore. What sparked that interest?
Well, we've been, obsessed with Bigfoot since we were kids. You know, it was a fixture in pop culture, and then as part of American mythology, most of the time. When we've seen Bigfoot movies, it was they're either children's films or horror films, and they're always from the perspective of humans. And we thought it'd be interesting just to approach it more in a naturalistic, almost nature documentary type of way from the perspectives of the Sasquatches themselves.
And did you have other ideas aside from the sort of almost Disney-esque sort of documentary nature film approach to it? Did you kick around other concepts for doing it, or did you quickly land on this is how we were going to show Sasquatch life?
This was the only way we were interested in it. Yeah, I think from the start we knew we needed to take this approach.
And what was the idea behind doing this? Was it sort of humanizing cryptozoological figure or showing in a way how there might be a closeness between Sasquatch and some of our human characteristics? What were you thinking in the way of themes to explore with this?
Yeah, I think Sasquatch is fascinating because it's sort of like this missing link. You know, it's sort of in between animal and human. And, you know, the gray area of that behavior is kind of, you know, fascinating to explore, like the things that make us similar to animals and vice versa. And so I think that's where a lot of, the ideas of some of the absurd comedy comes from that. And then also a lot of the heartfelt moments, because we would describe this at times as like being a family survival drama, where this family of Bigfoot is, learning to survive the elements and the nature and, even how they survive each other with their family dynamics. But, I think definitely Disney movies and those kind of like those movies that follow like a pack of wolves or a pack of elephants, and you kind of see all that. That was an inspiration for like the structure of it.
It really struck me that way as someone who enjoyed those films of decades ago. It definitely had that feeling. And the cinematography is so pretty. Obviously, it's hard to go wrong in the beautiful setting, the Redwood Forest that you're in. Describe what that was like working in that kind of environment day after day.
We wanted to have a very naturalistic look. Everything we could to kind of take these creatures and lend a sense of believability to them, and relatability. because beyond just the gimmick of these creatures being front and center, it was crucial to us that you know, we make something where people could connect on an emotional level to them and be invested in, you know, in them on their journey. So a big part of that was having a naturalistic quality to the look and to the landscapes. So, you know, some of the cinematography almost has like a 70s kind of feel to it, you know, using mostly available light, shooting all in location. You know, typically when you do movies with creature work like this, a lot of the time it's on a soundstage or in a controlled environment. And to kind of legitimize them, we really like the idea of putting them, you know, in the middle of the wilderness in these, you know, 1,000-year-old redwood forests, give kind of a primordial feel. Which is very difficult. You know, we're signing ourselves up for very difficult, approach, but it felt right.
We're talking with the co-directors, one of them the writer as well, the other a co-star of the film Sasquatch Sunset, talking with them about their movie shot entirely on location up in what is legendarily Sasquatch territory in Northern California. No humans in the film, and there's no human dialogue, but there's plenty of communication between the four family members of this Bigfoot family. Did you shoot this on private forest land, or was this shot in the national or state forests that are up there?
It was a mixture of both, mostly on private land, just because we were able to go a little bit deeper into the wilderness, and it was, you know, a little bit easier to shoot in because it was secluded and a little bit more untamed. But the parks up there, yeah, are legendary. They're gorgeous, and like David was saying, that just these ancient trees and has this really primordial feel that feels right for a Bigfoot film. And as you mentioned too, like that is the epicenter of Bigfoot lore. It's like where most of the the highest concentration of Bigfoot sightings are. So it definitely felt like Bigfoot's home.
Yeah, and everything from the banana slugs to the different mushrooms and the flora and fauna clearly are that. There's even a mountain lion that makes an appearance. There are all kinds of different elements to this film. I'm just trying to picture the four actors in this movie, and you know, you can speak to this issue, Nathan, as one of the stars. Getting all these prosthetics, everything put on, the time involved. How do you do that adjacent to forest land? Is this done in a trailer there, or is it done offsite somewhere and then you're driven to the forest to do this for the day's shoot? How did that work?
Yeah, well, we had a standard base camp with a couple trailers, dedicated to the makeup team. It was a 2-hour process to put the face and the latex and all the hair on and squeeze into these custom-made foam muscle suits that were covered in fur. And then sometimes it would be like a 20 or 30 minute ride down a logging road into the middle of the forest where the crew had set up. We kept the crew size pretty lean just because it was hard to move equipment out there, and most of the stuff was dedicated to like getting the actors to and from set, because it was a very, you know, cumbersome outfit to wear. We all had the same experience of like, as soon as we put the makeup on, instantly feeling like these large, hulking beasts, and it was very easy to get into character with all that that suit.
I'll bet. When we come back, we'll talk with the co-directors of Sasquatch Sunset, David and Nathan Zellner. Nathan, one of the stars of the film. David wrote the screenplay for the movie, and we'll talk more about the costumes for the actors and what were the big influences. Was it, you know, the famous Patterson-Gimlin film, which supposedly showed Sasquatch up in the forest along a road there? We'll also talk about how in the world world, they were able to convince two notable actors like Riley Keough to join in the film where they wouldn't be recognizable as well. Jesse Eisenberg, how did you get him on board for this? We'll find out from them when we come back on Film Week in just 1 minute. Some of the music from the soundtrack of Sasquatch Sunset, which we're talking about in this portion of Film Week on LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle with the co-directors of Sasquatch Sunset, which expands this week into additional select theaters. David Zellner and Nathan Zellner, they co-directed. David wrote the screenplay, and Nathan co-stars as one of the four members of the Sasquatch family. The film is set in Northern California's gorgeous redwood forests, and we're just talking about the costumes, the prosthetics that the actors wear in the film. And I was just curious about the influence on this, because there have been different depictions of what a Bigfoot looks like. Different cultures have their version. There's the Yeti, of course, of the Himalayas and other. So what sort of landed you on this vision of what a Sasquatch looks like?
Well, we kind of use the baseline for what people are familiar with. You mentioned the Patterson-Gimlin film, which is kind of the Rosetta Stone for like the modern look of the Bigfoot, and it's, you know, it's what led to that the pose, the silhouette pose that's on every, you know, Bigfoot bumper sticker or T-shirt. So we use that as a foundation, but then from there, kind of, you know, added our own things, combining traits of primates and primate behavior, things like that. Because we were treating it in a naturalistic way, just treating them as animals, as any other pack of animals you'd see. We wanted them to look less stylized, in that we made them anatomically correct, just matter-of-factly, you know, just like any other animal out there. And unlike, I feel like some Bigfoots in depicted movies that have like ripped abs and a real buff, and we wanted them to feel like we wanted them to just feel like real animals, you know.
So it's so true. How did you convince your stars, Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough, okay, here's a film where you're not going to be recognizable, and unless we knew you were in the film, we would never know you were in the film. You're going to be in a remote location, albeit a beautiful one, for hours a day, wearing this kind of costume and makeup, and not being able to speak lines. How did you sell them on this?
Jesse's been a friend of ours for a while, but we've never worked together. We've always just kind of shared thoughts and scripts, and David sent him the script, you know, almost just kind of worried, you know, for the same reasons that you were listing there, of like, how would someone react to this, because it's so different and such a unique role. And you know, within a couple hours of reading it, Jesse was calling him back and saying he wanted to do it, and he just had to see this movie be made. part of it was just like just because it's so unique, and the adventure of making it, but also just kind of like this type of movie doesn't exist. Like, it was one of the hardest things of pitching it, is like, there's not really a lot of comps. There's some older movies that people may have forgotten, like Quest for Fire or something like that, are kind of similar, but you know, as like an idea, like, that you just don't see films like this a lot. And Jesse recognized that off the page, and was totally in, like, got the sense of humor, got the emotional beats. And we had the same thing when we sent it to Riley. Like, she was enthusiastic within minutes of reading it, and, you know, The only thing she said is she wanted to be the most feral of the group. It was the only note that she gave us back. But yeah, it was just, I think it was just like, just met the right people to fill those roles.
Nathan, I'm just curious, as one of the actors in the movie, how did you co-direct this? You're in a substantial part of the scenes of the film, and with the makeup and the cut, I just wonder how in the world you wore a partial director's hat.
Well, David and I, you know, we've been trying to get this off the ground for years, and so we've kind of gone through and talked through a lot of like how we wanted to shoot it, and you know, I'll do a lot of prep before we start working with anyone else. And so we're trying to be as prepared as possible. And you know, that enables everybody that we work with in our opinion to like help elevate the project, because they know exactly what we're going for, and then they can take it and make it better than we ever thought. So directing wasn't, you know, this always has been the way we've worked. Sometimes I'm in front of the camera, sometimes David's in front of the camera. But technically it was a little bit different, because most days I was putting on makeup, even if I was just shooting, you know, one scene at the end of the day. So like the whole first half of the day, it's me and with a Sasquatch face on, standing next to David, looking at the camera.
That must be great, those stills of that.
But it's so funny how quickly that got normalized within the crew, like even with the anatomically correct suits and, you know, one of the directors wearing this crazy makeup, like by the morning of day two, everybody's like, oh yeah, this is the project, Ron. This is amazing.
That's so funny. We're talking with the co-directors of Sasquatch Sunset, which is in wider release starting this weekend. David Zellner, co-director and writer of the film. Nathan Zellner, co-director and one of the stars of Sasquatch Sunset. David, let's talk about the screenplay. Was this the oddest screenplay you've ever written, given that there is no human dialogue in it?
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way when, you know, how difficult it would be to get going. When it was just out of passion, just started working on it. You know, I think sometimes people wonder if it's all improvised, just simply because of that dialogue or what. But it was a very detailed script, because there's no, like Nathan was saying, there's no easy comp for this, and so it was crucial that the script be as explicit as possible in terms of the tone we're trying to convey, which, you know, is a mix of comedy and pathos, and then conveying it all in means that without that don't involve dialogue, you know. So it was having to through the scene description and just the description of the shots and then through the physicality and kind of interior, you know, lives of the Sasquatches, trying to just pushing the narrative through those in ways that you would normally maybe do through dialogue.
You know, it's funny because to me, it would have never occurred to me it'd be improvised, because you don't have human language. My assumption was you have to, as you're just saying, be very explicit on what you're laying out, because you can't fall back on that or improvising dialogue. You've got to really hit it exactly the way the script lays it out.
Yeah, exactly. And there's very, especially when we're dealing with the creature work and costumes like that, like time is of the essence.
Yeah.
Even more than under, you know, normal circumstances with a shoot. So it was all very mapped out. And we had an extensive rehearsal period before with a movement coach that Jesse had brought in. And that really, it really helped kind of solidify everyone as a unified species, you know, so that every, you know, that the action, yeah, the physicality and their vocalizations were all, you know, congruent with one another. But then within that, you know, having everyone's individual characteristics, you know, developed as well.
And they're a family as well as of the same species. David and Nathan Zellner, co-director of Sasquatch Sunset, thank you so much for joining us. It's Film Week on LAist 89.3 from all of us. Have a terrific weekend.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.